Treasurer Scott Morrison has had his first week in the new role and says he's focused on tax reform that encourages Australians to save, work and invest.
Working, saving and investing is what has made this country what it is today, and every element of our economic policy has to reward people who want to work, save and invest.
He held his first press conference as Treasurer alongside Finance Minister Matthias Cormann in an attempt to present a united front, insisting there was a smooth transition into the role. But reports Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull secretly suspended work on the tax white paper due later this year overshadowed the minister's key message. With a green paper setting out policy options not even on the table, it seems unlikely the government will deliver its white paper policy on time. But Treasurer Scott Morrison insisted that was not the case, and there were no plans to reset the government's tax policy.
The scope hasn't been changed because that all of the things you've just talked about have been part of the terms of reference for the tax white paper. If it's going to help people work, save and invest, if it's going to help Australians adapt to the challenges of the economy going forward, if it's going to make us more agile, more innovative, then I'm interested.
So it seems everything is back on the table when the former Treasurer Joe Hockey had already ruled out addressing issues like superannuation tax concessions, negative gearing and capital gains tax. But one thing is clear, the Treasurer is not interested in any revenue measures that involve putting up taxes, saying we have a spending problem, not a revenue problem.
Expenditure as a percentage of GDP is over 26%, which is where it was at the height of the GFC. This is not something that we believe is sustainable, and as there's plenty of people out there who want to raise taxes and have a new idea for a tax every single day of the week. I'm interested in talking to people who have ideas about how we can get spending under control, because we have a spending problem, not a revenue problem. Growing the economy, achieving the savings are the key tasks associated with the budget repair job.
Treasurer Scott Morrison. The Australian Financial Review has just held a tax reform summit, one of many this year, with delegates from across business, community and state and federal governments attending. CEO of the Grattan Institute, John Daly, was at the summit.
The government had previously indicated under Tony Abbott, Joe Hockey, that the Green Paper will be coming out probably sort of about late November. It's very clear that that is not going to happen, given that the Prime Minister has very clearly indicated that all options are back on the table, particularly superannuation, tax concessions, negative gearing, capital gains tax. These are all things that have been ruled out by Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey. So given that all of those things are back on the table, it will take them longer to work through the process than between now and November.
But there are reports that, in fact, the government is ruling out things like a proposal from New South Wales and Queensland to increase the Medicare levy.
Well, it remains to be seen exactly what's in and what's out. We'll see how the process goes from here.
In Scott Morrison's first press conference, he was very much focused on his three-word slogan, which is work, save and invest. He said that that's what any tax paper process will focus on. What he said was that any policy that doesn't focus on assisting people to work, save and invest is not going to get the ear of either himself or Finance Minister Matthias Cormann. What kind of specific proposals do you think he had in mind?
Well, I am guessing that things like the goods and services tax in general are less of a disincentive to save. They are, depending on exactly what you do, less of a disincentive to work. Relative to income taxes, depending on how your income tax is structured and depending on the rest of the tax and welfare system. It might also be talking about things like property taxes and stamp duties. So stamp duties are a big disincentive to transact. On the other hand, general property taxes have almost no impact on the extent to which people invest. So that's a really good example of something where if you, as the ACT has done, reduce your stamp duties and increase your property taxes, you wind up with a change in tax mix, which means the budget's about the same, but you have a much more efficient tax system.
Okay, one of the things that Scott Morrison did say is that he talked about expenditure being 26% of GDP, which he said is not sustainable and is back at levels that were at the height of the GFC, and went on to say that in his view that Australia has a spending problem, not a revenue problem. Is he right?
I would have thought that Australia has both a revenue problem and a spending problem. If you look at where we are today, spending is higher than it averaged through the first decade of the 2000s. Revenue, on the other hand, is substantially lower. Now, one of the points that the Treasurer made is that if all of the forecasts come true, then revenue by the end of the budget estimates period by 2019 as a percentage of GDP will be pretty close to that long-run average. Now, of course, there are many people who are very nervous about whether we will come remotely close to hitting those budget forecasts. And if we don't, one of the things that is most likely to fall short is that revenue won't increase relative to GDP nearly as fast as the budget has been forecasting. So that's one point. And then the other point to make is that Australia doesn't actually have particularly big government by global standards. If you look at all of the countries in the OECD, Australia is right down in the bottom fifth in terms of spending as a percentage of GDP. Australia is nothing like a large government country. And so whereas you might say, well, you know, the amount we're spending is pretty high relative to historic standards, and that's true, it's worth remembering that those historic standards are pretty low by the standards of developed countries.
Okay, there have been various ideas that have been put forward about how to address revenue issues in Australia, things like addressing superannuation tax concessions, addressing corporate tax avoidance, and you've put forward an idea about a property tax. But Scott Morrison said that he's not interested in talking to people who want to come forward with proposals about new taxes. He said he's only interested in talking to people who have ideas about getting spending under control. Does that give you hope about what this tax reform process will look like?
It does make me very nervous. If you look at the history of governments that have executed successful budget repairs, invariably they have done it by both cutting spending and increasing tax. And it is worth remembering the Commonwealth government's deficit is around $40 billion. That's about the level it's been for the last 7 years, give or take. And unless they get much luckier than they've been for the last 7 years, that's more or less the level it's going to be for the next 3 or 4 at least. And that $40 billion deficit, that's about 2.5% of GDP. And every time we run a deficit of that size, every young household at some stage over its life is going to have to pay another $10,000 in tax. Now, you could do that for a year. But when you've been doing it for 10 years, all of a sudden that's a debt for younger households of a better part of $100,000. And now we're talking real money. So getting that kind of deficit under control is important for future generations. And given the size of the budget hole, $40 billion a year, it's very difficult to see how you're going to get there anytime soon purely on spending cuts. And then there's also the real politics of this. If you try and do substantial budget repair only through cutting spending, inevitably that hits the bottom half much harder than the top half. And of course, the political economy of that is dreadful. And indeed, we saw how badly it played in May 2014 with a budget that pretty much only hit the bottom half.
And was pretty unpopular.
Deeply unpopular and very hard to carry.
CEO of the Grattan Institute, John Daly.
On the Money, hedge your bets and stay tuned.
On the Money with Catherine Zengerer, we're looking once again at the issue of tax reform. With a change of Prime Minister and a change of Treasurer, it seems the process of looking at tax reform may be rejigged. And issues like addressing capital gains tax, negative gearing and superannuation tax concessions, all ruled out by Joe Hockey, may well be back on the table. At the tax summit hosted by the Financial Review last week, the GST was still a major focus though, with a 50% increase being advocated by a number of key premiers like New South Wales' Mike Baird and South Australia's Jay Weatherall. They'd also like to see the GST extended to areas like private health, education and financial services. But even with compensation packages being talked about, organisations like ACOS and Mission Australia are wary about the impact a GST hike would have on Australians on lower incomes, on pensions or other welfare benefits. Mission Australia CEO Catherine Yeoman was at the summit.
At Mission Australia, what we would say is that going straight to the GST is not the place to start. And certainly what we heard at the tax forum, which we thought was a good message, was the desire to see everything on the table. If we're actually going to talk tax reform, which we believe we should, then let's not rule things out but also just zero in on one form of tax like the GST. Actually, the tax reform debate is much bigger than that.
If the GST was going to be increased and there was an appropriate compensation package that went along with that, would you feel more comfortable with that?
The questions about GST are in the context of wider tax reform. At Mission Australia, we're most concerned about vulnerable and disadvantaged Australians, people on really low incomes, where any changes to the GST are going to have an immediate impact. So we just don't think it's the place to start. Again, if we were to start talking about GST and start talking about compensation packages, that's in a vacuum of what other changes might be appropriate or proposed in terms of tax reform.
We have seen suggestions that some of the states are putting forward that there should be an increase in the Medicare levy. How would you respond to that?
Well, again, in isolation, we really are strongly of the view that we need to look at tax reform in its entirety. And talking about any items in isolation is not helpful and does take us down an immediate pathway where we're actually not looking at all of the options, but also how this hits the family's hip pocket as a whole. And that really needs to be considered. And again, we need to look at how it's actually affecting all income earners.
The Treasurer, Scott Morrison, this week has said that he is interested in hearing proposals about tax reform that helps Australians who want to work, save and invest. What kind of proposals do you think would help people to do that?
Well, again, we think actually the place to start with tax reform is to actually consider what sort of society we want to have and what sort of services are required in the society that we want to have that need to be funded by the government. Then in answering that question, we'll actually understand how much revenue the government should be raising. And a way of the government raising revenue, obviously, is via taxes. And then we can talk about the most appropriate way to raise those taxes and revenue to achieve those goals as well. So certainly part of the focus needs to be what is an incentive to work. What we also need to consider is that in our society, there will be people who need support, and that support comes from government services. There are some people who, even if it is their desire, it is not possible for them to work. How are we giving people a living wage? How are we helping them to live with dignity in the community and engage in the community and keep a roof over their head and food on their table as well?
What kind of tax reform would help people who are in the workplace but are at the lower end of the spectrum in terms of their earnings?
Looking obviously at the tax level thresholds, looking at how they're able to support their place in the workforce, certainly in terms of women's participation in the workplace, looking at the role of early learning and access to early learning and how that's supported as well. But what I heard consistently in the tax reform forum was, I felt, a resounding acknowledgement that a social safety net is vitally important and that we must not lose sight of the need to provide that, and therefore we must consider the services that we want to provide as a nation, not just looking at reducing taxes. It is about how much tax do we need to collect in order to provide the services that we require as a nation.
One of the things that did come up at the tax reform summit was that there is a lack of trust between various groups around tax reform. Do you agree that that's the case, and what would it take to rebuild that trust?
Certainly, I think we need to talk more around the tax reform that is actually required. And again, we're encouraged by language which isn't seeking to just rule things out and just preemptively say, okay, well, we'll have tax reform, but we're not going to go there, and we'll have tax reform, but we won't go there either. We actually need a much more holistic conversation, and we need all of the parties who are interested in this around the table. I think we need less talking about constituencies, and we need less talking from one particular angle and actually come around this, and that will facilitate that by actually making sure that we're talking about all of the tax reform opportunities.
When you say one particular angle, do you mean the GST?
Yes, that's right. So either just talking or just ruling out negative gearing while suggesting that that's a no-go zone and we can't talk about that. Why not? Why can't we talk about that? Again, we need to have a fuller conversation as possible so that we can actually get together and consider all of the options and what achieves the best outcome for our society as a whole, not for particular constituencies.
What's the number one thing you would like to see addressed in any tax reform process?
An acknowledgement around what services we believe our government should be providing, and particularly considering what we would expect as a society for the social safety net. I think if we start there, that to me is the threshold assumption that we need to agree on, because that will determine how much tax we should raise. I think most Australians expect a social safety net to be in place and actually would be surprised to know the real income levels that some people in our society are trying to survive on. So talk around welfare being a place that people are choosing to be, I think, is coming from a place where people are not fully understanding the hardship that some people are experiencing.
Mission Australia CEO Catherine Yeoman.
On the Money. In for a podcast, in for a pound.